Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. That's the opening line from today's gospel that you just heard. Now, I told the Wednesday night group that evidently this was the first instance of Nick at night. It was a joke Wednesday night, and it is today, and everyone laughed like you did. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that maybe it wasn't as much of a joke as I thought. You see, anyone in my family will tell you that I watch Nick at Night probably more than anything else on television. It's been the case for over 30 years. In the early days, I loved watching the shows that I grew up with. I loved Lucy, the Donna Reed Show. I always thought my mother looked like Donna Reed. Dennis the Menace, My Three Sons, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I guess in a way, I found some kind of comfort and security in those well-worn stories of my childhood. Maybe even a reassurance that in some chapters of life, everything remains in its proper place, and the stories will all turn out predictably well. Maybe that's overanalyzing it, but the truth is, I still prefer those kinds of stories, which I can count on to have a reasonably happy ending. And I guess in a way, the same is true even here in church. We listen to the familiar, the beloved stories of our faith, like this one about Nicodemus, stories that we've heard so many times that we can almost recite them by memory. And I think that we draw a sense of comfort and security from hearing them again and again. You see, we make our way through a week of responsibilities, all the complications of relationships, the daily challenges of our convoluted lives, and we come to this place on a Sunday morning. We breathe a sigh of relief and find a bit of ourselves in the familiarity of our biblical narratives, the familiarity of our hymns and liturgies and traditions. We depend on the predictability of our faith that give us some sense of reassurance that through continuity in the midst of the unpredictable and often stressful world, which may make us a little more like Nicodemus than we might want to imagine, and can make us a little more understanding of where he's coming from as he comes to see Jesus at night. Now, Nicodemus is a big deal. He is a member of the highest Jewish council permitted by the Roman government, the Sanhedrin. This is a guy who knew his church stuff. He was well-versed in matters of faith and tradition and was a man filled with the self-assurance and confidence which comes from absolutely knowing what was right and what was true. In fact, the very first thing to come out of his mouth is, "Rabbi, we know." And yet, in spite of all that self-assurance and knowing, something compels Nicodemus to seek Jesus out under the cloak of darkness. Maybe the Pharisees had sent him to set some kind of trap for Jesus in some kind of unguarded moment of heresy that they didn't want to alert the disciples. Maybe, and it's what I think, Nicodemus was genuinely intrigued by everything he'd heard about this renegade rabbi, and he didn't want his own colleagues to see him. Regardless, Scripture doesn't tell us why he came at night. But it seems to me that Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night because he was hiding something, either from Jesus or from others, or maybe even from himself. We have to remember that John's gospel makes a big deal out of the analogy of darkness and light. When describing his understanding of Jesus in the very first chapter of John, he writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and starts by asserting what he knows. But as soon as Jesus tries to share with him the truth of spiritual matters, it becomes obvious that even though he's sitting in the presence of the light of the world, Nicodemus is still completely in the dark. You have to be born anew, born from above, born again, Jesus tells him. And Nicodemus is stumped. He's stumped because Nicodemus is a literalist. He knows the Torah like the back of his hand. He knows the law backwards and forwards. He knows the prayer. Nicodemus has it all down pat. But for some reason, his heart remains in the darkness. All of us, every one of us, knows on some level what it means to come to Jesus by night. Intrigued, but weighted down by a lot of buts and how cans and what ifs. Most of us would prefer concrete answers to the questions of this thing called life. But Jesus tells Nicodemus and us that it's not enough that you know all the rules and regulations and doctrines and prayers and liturgies. You have to be born again. And not the born again of our modern world that's all about theological certainty and having all the answers for every question. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's about a birth from darkness into light. Innocent and vulnerable, beginning to learn life and language from scratch and opening ourselves to that wind, the wind that blows where it chooses, without always knowing where that wind might lead us. You know, I think I've been doing this ministry thing for a long time now, maybe as long as Nicodemus. But I still don't have all the answers to life's tough questions. What I'm pretty sure of, though, is that we all come to this place seeking light. Because to one degree or another, many of us are still very much living in the dark. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, maybe so he wouldn't be seen by his highly critical Pharisee brothers, or maybe he was just intrigued and curious. But he came cautiously, concrete, literal, entrenched in his beliefs and practices. And maybe he just wasn't ready for Jesus' answers. But what I do know is that Nicodemus came to understand that that wind does blow. The Spirit of God who loves the world, the light who came not to condemn the world based on how you know your stuff or follow the rules, but came to love the world into redemption. And Nicodemus came to know that he was called, that we are called, to be a reflection of that light and that love, and shine our own light of love in a world that is so often and so stubbornly stuck in darkness, and in turn to open ourselves to the breath of God, the wind of God's loving Spirit, who will blow us to places we've never imagined. And how do I know all that? Well, it's easy. It was Nicodemus who later stands up for Jesus against the Pharisees and was with Joseph of Arimathea, receives and buries the body of Jesus after the crucifixion, not in the dark of night, but in the radiant light of the light of the world. God love you. Amen.